The title of my message today, I guess you could give it a couple of titles, but I'll make it pretty simple. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Or you could entitle it, Peace Born into the Earth. I want to start out with Isaiah chapter 9, a very familiar passage of Scripture, especially to us around here. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. A child is born, physical, unto us a son is given, deity, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7. Of the increase of his government of peace, there will be no end. Since the time that Jesus was born, that government began increasing in the earth, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. I want to put up the word shalom this morning, and I'm sure most of you know what that word shalom means. It has a lot of different connotations to it, and so I want to just read this. Is a Hebrew word meaning peace, harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity. Health isn't on there, but health is also in that definition. It's a great word study to do a word study on this word peace. Welfare and tranquility, and can be used, that word, to mean both hello and goodbye. The word shalom is also found in many other expressions and names. But ultimately, as we'll read some scriptures here in a little bit, the peace of God, or the Prince of Peace, is the very nature of God. And you know, I've preached this in different ways in times past, but today the reality of this means more to me than it ever has. Peace is vibrating in my heart like it has never vibrated in my heart. And this is the greatest moment of my life. I believe that there's going to be greater moments in the days ahead, but at this moment, this is the greatest moment of my life, because of the peace that is exploding on the inside of me. And you know, the truth is, since that scripture was penned in the Old Testament, since Jesus was born into the earth and his government of peace has increased, it would seem like on the outside that there's still a great war going on around us. But I have hope today because of what I see in the scripture, that the increase of his government and peace, his government of righteousness, and the shalom, what we just read, that there will be no end to this, that it will continue to grow greater, it will get bigger, it will be more magnificent. Can I hear an amen? Now, Israel thought that whenever Jesus came into the earth and was born, you know, they believed that their Messiah was going to conquer all of their enemies by force. And the truth is, the moment that Jesus was born into the earth, he began to bring an end to the war that was going on in between people's ears. That was what he brought an end to. Now, it is up to us to embrace the fact that he is the Prince of Peace. It is up to us to embrace the fact that he has always been the Prince of Peace, and that he will always be the Prince of Peace, that he has always been the Prince of Peace. To me, that is so awesome. That is so incredible. And then we find in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 10, 13 and 14, Isaiah 54, verse 10, after Jesus went to the cross, This is some verses in Isaiah 54. For the mountains shall be removed, and the hills shall depart, and mountains and hills in the scriptures is always talking about the thoughts of men, the religion of men. The mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, But God says, my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. Verse 13. And this will be the byproduct of that. All your children, whenever you embrace the fact that God is a God of peace, that He's always been at peace, that He will always be at peace with us, great will be the peace of your children. And I will say great will be the peace of us adults, because we're the ones that are supposed to be giving that peace to our children. Great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you will be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. In between your ears. See, Israel thought that Jesus was going to conquer from the outside, but Jesus came to conquer on the inside, so that He could give us everything that we've always had, that we would recognize it, that we would open our minds up to it. See, Jesus was the beginning of bringing peace to the warfare that was going on in the Old Testament. Jesus was the end to, He was bringing an inner peace. An inner kingdom was going to prevail. It would overcome on the outside, from the inside. There would be an inside to an outside overcoming. The outside visible would only change and will only change as men and women let the war within them go. And as we embrace the Prince of Peace, as we embrace the message of reconciliation, which is what peace is, it's the fact that God reconciled us back to Himself. God has always been at peace with us, but we have not always been at peace with Him. But He is the Prince of Peace. And if he was the Prince of Peace on this day that He was born, He's always been the Prince of Peace. He will always be the Prince of Peace. If He was the Prince of Peace, He came to show us that the Father was always the Prince of Peace and will always be the Prince of Peace. God is only about peace. Look at somebody and say, my God is a God of peace. In Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 80, I'm going to give you quite a few scriptures this morning. Luke 1, 78, Zechariah's tongue is loosed. He was the father of John the Baptist, and he began to prophesy some things here in the end of Luke about the coming of the Messiah in their moment. And he calls it the way of peace, the way of peace. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness, and man, they were sitting in darkness, and the shadow of death, to guide our feet, everybody say feet, remember that, to guide our feet into the way of peace. There's a way of peace, verse 80. So the child grew, John the Baptist, and became strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his manifestation to Israel. And he was the one that introduced Jesus, who was the Prince of Peace. He introduced us to him. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8 says this. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Verse 9. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. What does God do whenever we're afraid? Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of if God is a God of peace. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, and I know I do this all the time, which will be to all people. Everybody say all. See, the good news isn't good news if there's something that you have to do. The good news is only good news as if Jesus finished a work, and all you need to do is embrace it with your mind. You just see it. You see the fact. You hear it. You hear that God is good. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in a swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. God always had goodwill toward men. Now here's the deal. The Hart translation says it this way of that last verse. He translates this, peace on earth among men of goodwill. Now, I believe that God has always been at peace with the human race, but the human race has not always been at peace with God. The human race has not always been at peace with each other. Matter of fact, the human race right now is very agitated with each other. The entire world is divided because the church has not preached the gospel of peace. We have not preached the Prince of Peace. If we believe that God's a little angry, then we have a reason to be angry. But God is not even a little angry. Hello, God is a God of peace. That is His nature. See, we need to embrace what we're hearing. We need to embrace the fact that God is at peace with us. But the peace begins on the inside of us, in our emotions, in our thinking, in the way that we perceive everything that's going on around us. Peace begins on the inside of us, and it begins to explode out to the outside, because what God wants to do is He wants to change the dynamics of everything that's going on around us, and His government of peace is changing the dynamics of men's hearts today like I have never seen in my entire lifetime, and that is going to show up on the outside of us. It's going to show up around us in every situation, in every circumstance. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world, and I have left you with my peace. I have left you with a peace that you can give to the people around you, but you can't give out something that you don't know that you have. You can't even give something out that you have not experienced in your own personal life. Can I hear an amen? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Probably most of us have this one memorized. Now may the God of peace, not the God of war, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just say something again about the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus is here. He's living in you as spirit. All of God in all of you. This word coming is not talking about Him coming out of a cloud in the sky. His coming is about Him coming out of you. You're the cloud. He's coming out of you as a representation of peace. Romans 15:33. Now may the God of peace be with you all. Everybody say the God of peace. And I could keep going like this. One more. Hebrews 13:20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, verse 21, make you complete, shalom, in every good work, to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and forever. Somebody say, peace on earth. The truth is, we need to accept this peace. We need to embrace the fact that God is not angry. Where was God whenever Jesus was on the cross? God was in Christ reconciling the world into this state of peace that has always existed in and with God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12. Paul is writing to us what our response is going to be because of us embracing this message of peace. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Wow. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with everybody. Look at somebody and say, that means everybody. Uh-huh. I thought you would need to repeat that. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. Why? Because the God of peace doesn't render evil for evil. And this is who you are. This is your nature. This is your identity. But always pursue what is good both for yourselves. Oh, come on. Help me. And for all. Whoa. Rejoice always. How could you not? We serve a God of peace who loves us. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Everybody say the will of God. See, here's the thing. If we begin to walk in what Isaiah tells us over and over again in the book of Isaiah, he tells us what's going to happen as a result of us embracing a message of peace. In Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 17 and 18, a couple of my favorite Old Testament scriptures. Isaiah 32, 17. The work of righteousness will be peace. Whenever you realize that you've always been the righteousness of God before the foundations of the world, even if you haven't embraced it yet with your mind, you've always been the righteousness of God before the foundations of the world. If you embrace that, peace will be the factor that will begin to ensue in your life. You've never been separated from God. And the effect of righteousness, would you say that a lot of people don't have this? The effect of righteousness, the righteousness of peace, is quietness and assurance forever. Isaiah is prophesying about what's going to come as a result of what Jesus did. Verse 18, my people will dwell, come on, my people will dwell in a peaceful habitation. We will dwell in secure dwellings. Wow. And in quiet resting places. That's you. That's you. That's you. Isn't that incredible? Go back to verse 18. My people will dwell in peaceful habitation. You say, Pastor Terry, should we be walking in peace? Absolutely. If you know that God's not mad at you, and I get a hold of that for myself, and I embrace that peace, then I don't have to be mad at that person that cut me off and about made me have a wreck and go into the ditch on Friday afternoon. Hello. But see, if I'm not at peace, if I'm not embracing a God of peace in my own life, it'll be hard for me to give peace out. So for the next few days, I am going to do this. I'm going to have a cardboard thing that I'm going to put peace on. I'm going to write peace out, and as I'm driving, I'm going to hold it up to everybody. But Pastor Terry, they deserve something other than peace. No one deserves anything but peace. Your worst relative that you're going to be with in the next few days only deserves peace. Only deserves peace. They do not deserve a response of anger. Only peace. Maybe what we read in scriptures, I think it's called the Rorschach test, maybe it reveals more about what we think than what we've thought about God or other people. How will we know? How will we know about righteousness and peace and grace and love unless somebody preaches it, preaches the gospel, the good news? Listen to Isaiah 52, starting with verse 5. Am I doing okay this morning? Isaiah 52. Continually every day, be at peace. Okay. Therefore, my people shall know my name. No, go back one verse. Yeah, there we go. Now, therefore, what have I here, says the Lord. Now, let's read this closely and slowly. That my people are taken away for nothing, I wonder where they would be taken away at in their mind. Those who rule over them, that would be leadership of any kind, those who rule over them make them wail, says the Lord, and my name or my nature is blasphemed among everyone. Continually, every day. That's what was going on in that war system that was happening in the minds of men in the Old Covenant. But it's still going on, but I believe that it's come. Its days are coming to an end. Therefore, my people shall know my nature. They'll know my name. They'll know that I'm not angry. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. Who was speaking? Hebrews says that in these last days of that old covenant that Jesus spoke. He spoke a final word to every one of us. And he said he's going to say this in the new covenant. But he says this about those that preach, not only Jesus, but all of those who preach the message of peace. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace and glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God who is at peace reigns in you. Your watchmen shall lift up their voices, and with their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. And you will break forth into joy. You will sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arms in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Did the earth see the salvation of God 2,000 years ago? Should we be viewing it in a different perspective than even they were viewing it at that moment? Yeah. Yeah, I am so excited because of what I'm seeing and what I'm experiencing in my own life. We've had 2,000 years of very little gospel. But I am so excited what could happen in 5 years, what could happen in 10 years, what could happen in 20 years in our lives right now. I am so excited about if the gospel is preached. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that the good news is the power of God. The power of God released in our midst where there's no sick. Everybody's shalom. Everybody's healthy. Everybody's whole. Everybody's prosperous. And you say, Pastor Terry, everybody can't be prosperous. Everybody can't be healthy. Yes, they can. And I believe that they will be. Look at somebody and say, permit me to hope. So we see this in Isaiah, then in Romans chapter 10. And I want to read this out of the Mirror Bible. I'm about to throw my King James away, but I'll hang on to it. Boy, that should have really went over really well. Everybody that's listening to me, I'm being a little facetious, but there's a lot of issues with the King James Version. Come on. Where did I tell you to go? Romans. We were just in Isaiah. There we go. Are you ready for this? This is so good. Somebody's going to get up and run, I can tell you right now. And if you don't, I might. Chapter 10. Nothing distinguishes the Jew from the Greek when it comes to the generosity of God. He responds with equal benevolence to everyone who sees themselves identified in him. Salvation is to understand that every person's true identity is revealed in Christ. How is it possible to convince people of their identity in him while they do not believe that he represents them? How will they believe if they remain ignorant about who they really are? How will they understand if the good news of their inclusion is not announced to them? What gives someone the urgency to declare these things? It is recorded in prophetic scripture how lovely on the mountains are the feet of them leaping. See, this is why I do this. Leaping with the exciting news of victory because of their eyewitness encounter. that they are qualified to run with the gospel of peace and announce the consequent glad tidings of good things that will benefit everyone. Everybody say everyone. Isn't that powerful? I mean, I could keep reading. That is so powerful. Ephesians 6:15. Pastor Terry, does your feet smell? Absolutely not. I have beautiful feet. And I have beautiful feet for one reason. Look at this. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, covenant of peace, Old Testament, gospel of peace, New Testament. God is not angry with me, even though I may be going through things in this moment. There may be negative things going on around me. One of the pieces of my armor in my understanding, in my mind. See, whenever I was in Bible school, we used to put on our armor. The leader from the front, we would put on all of our armor. We'd act like we were putting it on. And I come to find out that we acted like we were putting it on, but we had no idea in between our ears what all of those things represented. The gospel of peace, the feet that needs to be shod is your mind, your understanding. You need to be overwhelmed with the peace of God in your life, that He's not angry with you. The results of your life right now is not God orchestrating negative things in your life. We may have some negative things, but that's because of the decisions and the choices that I make and the people around me make. But God is at peace. God's not angry. And whenever I'm going through something, this is what gives me stability to write out the crap that I'm in the middle of. What gives me stability is, God, you're not mad at me. You're for me. You're not against me. You favor me. Yeah, I've got myself in a mess, but you love me. You're at peace with me, and I'm at peace with this situation going on around me because I'm at peace on the inside. You're at peace with me, and I'm at peace with this situation. I'm not even trying to change this situation. The peace that's in me will change this situation. Are you listening to me? So don't give up. Don't quit. I think I'll just leave my shoes off. They're not. Now I can reach up and grab that rafter up there. Anyway, are you hearing me, Daddy? Put on your shoes. Everybody say, put on your shoes. Put on your shoes. Put on your shoes. Put on your shoes. In your mind, in your understanding, God's not angry with you. Pastor Terry, I've been dealing with sickness in my body for 9 years. And you know what? There was a woman in the New Testament that had been dealing with sickness in her body. She had spent all of her money on doctors. She didn't have anything left, but she came face to face with her healer. And her healer didn't push her away. Her healer healed her in that moment. I'm telling you, if you can get your heart, I'm talking about your mind, your soul, and your emotions to cooperate with the peace that has already been deposited in you, because the Prince of Peace Himself lives in you. If you can get your mind, they whose mind, Isaiah says, they whose mind has stayed on thee is made in perfect peace. You let your mind be absorbed by the peace that's... Quit trying to change everything and everybody around you. Just allow God to begin to take that peace and permeate your thinking and your thought process. And whenever you do, you're going to be more stable in your life than you've ever been. This next year could be a really difficult year, but it's not going to be a difficult year for me. You know why? Because I have on my gospel shoes of peace. The world around me is going crazy, but I'm going to be the stabilizing force in the people's lives around me, because whenever terror is going on around me, whenever crazy stuff is happening around me, I'm asleep in the bottom of the boat. Are you hearing me today? I told myself I wasn't going to preach this morning, but it's kind of hard not to. Look at somebody and say, I have beautiful feet. 1 Corinthians 14:33. I'm coming in for a close here. 1 Corinthians 14:33. Watch this. And we could just keep going like this all day long. For God is not the author of confusion. is there a lot of confusion going on around us today? Who's the author of it? Not God. Thank you. Thank you. I was waiting on that. We're the authors of confusion. It began with Adam in the garden. Jesus exterminated it and is expecting the whole human race to come in and embrace a message of peace. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. God is a God of peace here today. God wants us to display that peace to everybody around us. God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. Pastor Terry, I don't know what should be happening. The Bible says in John that the Spirit of God would be living on the inside of us and He would show us things to come. That we would not be taken back by anything that's going to be happening in 2020. But we should be able to have our eyes lifted upward, and we should be able to see things that no one else sees in the middle of chaos and disaster. We're going to be stable people. We're going to be people of peace in the days ahead. We are not going to spread chaos and confusion. We are only going to be spreading peace. That was a real good place for somebody to say, hallelujah. Let me read Ephesians out of the Mirror Bible here. Ephesians chapter 2. And Davey, if you guys want to start coming on up, Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to take communion here in a minute. Ephesians 2. Jesus had on His gospel shoes of peace. Verse 13 says in the Mirror Bible, but now, wow, everything has changed. You have discovered yourselves to be located in Christ. He's talking about Gentiles. What once seemed so distant is now so near. His blood reveals your redeemed innocence and your authentic Genesis. It is in Him that we are one and at peace with everyone. He dissolved every definition of division. It is in Him that we are one and at peace with everyone. He dissolved every definition of division. In His incarnation, He rendered the entire Jewish system of ceremonial laws and regulations useless as a measure to justify human life and conduct. In that He died mankind's death, all grounds for tension and hostility were entirely removed. The peace that Jesus proclaims reveals one new human race, created and defined in Christ instead of two groups of people separated by their ethnic identity and their differences. Both parties are fully represented and equally reconciled to God in one body through the cross. He reinstated the former harmony that we had before the foundations of the world. All opposing elements were thus utterly defeated. On that basis, Jesus made His public appearance proclaiming the good news of peace to the entire human race from His birth all the way through to His resurrection. Both those who felt left out in the cold, as far as the promises and covenants were concerned, as well as to those who were near all along because of their Jewish identity. Because of Christ, both Jew and Gentile now enjoy equal access to the Father in one Spirit. The conclusion is clear. You are no longer frowned upon as a foreigner. You are where you belong. And the Jews frowned on everybody. You are where you belong and part of an intimate family. Your lives now give tangible definition to the spiritual structure, having been built into it by God upon the foundation that the prophets and the apostles proclaimed. The first evidence of this building was Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. In Him, every one of us are like living Lego blocks fitted together of the same fabric, giving ever-increasing articulation to a global, mobile sanctuary. You are it, intertwined in the Lord. In him you are co-constructed together as God's permanent spiritual residence. You are God's address. Everybody say God's address. Wow. Aren't you glad about this? Can you take one more scripture? Okay. 2 Corinthians 13. I'm just going to read it out of the New King James. Thank you, Father, for peace. Verse 11. This was Paul's final departing words to a church in Corinth that had a lot of problems. And how many of you know that if we embrace everyone, it's going to look really messy? But how about if we believe that God embraced everyone, why can't we do it? Here we go. Finally, brethren and sistren, farewell. Become complete. Shalom. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. If you don't live in peace, is it that God's not with you? No, we're misreading that. We're looking at it wrong. God is with us all the time, but if we're not embracing it and walking it out, then it won't do anybody any good. Now here we go. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Your true identity is peace. I know there have been times this year where you may not have felt peace, but you're coming into a greater proportion of peace than you've ever come into. Can I hear an agreement in here? Would you say today you're at more peace with life in general than you've ever been? Providing you don't watch CNN. Constant negative news. I see a peace, and I'm not looking in the physical. I'm seeing somewhere else. I see a peace overcoming the governments of this world. I see a peace overcoming the government of the church, and the church will explode upon the world, and this world will be the place that God has always meant it to be. The spirit and the physical coming together in the dimensions of peace, the dimensions of God's nature. And you say, Pastor Terry, that can't be possible. That's what God always wanted from the beginning. And we moved away from paradise, but I'm telling you, Jesus opened the way back up for us to go into paradise. We were in paradise. I was in paradise. You were in paradise. You were released into this earth, and God is bringing us back to paradise. The restoration of all things is at hand. Can you handle this? You like it? I really like it because it's filling my heart with hope and it's filling my heart with a message. I had a dream. I don't usually have dreams in full color, but I have a dream because 39, 38 years ago, God told me. This is what God told me. He said, and I had no idea that I would be in this moment. God told me, he said, you're going to affect the young people of the next few generations. And I had a dream this week, and I said, Father, I'm 59 years old. I'm almost 60. I mean, my cake would burn up if they put candles on it. I'm almost 60. You know, I should be going fishing. Maybe I will. But he said, you're going to affect, you're right now, I had this full-colored dream where I was touching young people, 15, 18, 22, not just older people, but younger people. And I saw, what I saw in my mind's eye, what I saw in that dream, I saw me standing in a stadium preaching to 10,000 young people. 10,000 young people, and the young people exploded with the fact that God was at peace with them. They believed that God was living in them, and there was an explosion of love to God because they had a future and they had a hope. What am I preaching? I'm preaching the thing that I believe will be the manifestation in the days that we're living in. It's taken me a while to get here, but I guess the main thing is that you get here. And it just keeps getting better and unfolding. God is better than what we think He is. And He's just going to continue to unfold His goodness before our eyes in the days ahead. And I have hope for our younger generations. Are you listening to me? Why don't you guys stand?